asked me how my weekend was going, or how my weekend went, and like what I did. And I said, oh, I street preached. I went downtown and I preached the gospel. And he's like, it's funny how he said, he's like, oh, I'm somewhat of a man of God myself. And I gave him like a blank stare, and I'm like, and I took out the card from my wallet. I'm like, I want you to test yourself. But, we got into some good conversation. He's like, so how'd you get saved, basically? And I gave him some of my testimony, and we were working at the same time, so I couldn't spend too much time with him, but he was listening, and I told him pride is an abomination. He hanged his head down. He's like, yeah, I see that. He's a young guy. And so I don't know. He might be a seeker. We'll see. But
nice.
Yeah, and that boosted my mood for the rest of the night. Now it gave me like a jolt of energy, and I like finished out the day, which is awesome.
Isn't it amazing when you're witnessing, you never feel tired?
Nope.
Never. And when I'm an old man with all kinds of issues, and Sister Amma's an older woman with all kinds of issues. And when we go out to preach the gospel, I'm telling you, when I'm preaching or I'm sharing the gospel, I never think about all my ailments. It's like you said, Brother Kuo, the Holy Spirit lifts you up and gives you everything you need to say. And man, you know, we could go 13 hours straight preaching, and when we're all done, we just sit down and go, whew, did we just do that? How did we, in 100 degree heat, how did we do that? And it's like the Holy Spirit lifts you up. And I love it. You said that, Brother Kuo, that like when you're done, he like sets you back down, like you don't need it anymore, so he sets you back down. That's awesome. Good job, brother.
All God's glory. He lined that whole thing up.
And I want to praise you for your flexibility too. And I laid out that like itinerary of things we're going to do, good Lord willing, coming up, headed down by Brother Purgos. And I know you're open to it might not all go that way, but that's kind of a tentative plan to look for, and then we might have to make a left or a right somewhere. But that makes the life kind of exciting, because it's not the best laid plans of man. It's, Lord, we're going to do this to glorify you if it's your will. And then God takes over and says, no, you're going to do this instead. Or I'm going to have you meet this person. It's pretty exciting when it happens like that.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
You can only really get it in van life. That's a cool thing.
Yeah, amen, amen. Brother Purgos, what would you like to share with us tonight? You got some scripture or a chapter, or what do you want to share?
I thought you wanted to get your Ephesians done first.
No, I'm in Philippians 4, but no, that can hold off.
Well, Hebrews 11 really started talking to me yesterday, so I'll read that quick.
You're going to read the whole chapter of Hebrews 11?
Yes.
Okay, and then we'll talk about it. I wanted to know where to go. Okay, sounds good. Go ahead.
That's the Hall of Faith, one of my favorite chapters.
Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it, he being dead, yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. By the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child, when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph, and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel, and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasure in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroy the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, as saying to do, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down, after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished, not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourging, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. Wandered in deserts and in mountains, and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having promised, having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect.
So how many hours do we have to go through this?
No.
There's a lot there. So... Yeah. What jumps out at you, brothers?
I like the part about sojourning, strangers and pilgrims on the earth. They desire a better country. It just reminds me of I guess, like, the van life kind of a thing. Like, you're always moving around and never really have, like, a set place you're going to stay. And you're just kind of a stranger in the world, like, kind of in the underbelly. And, yeah, you're looking toward that better country of an eternal inheritance.
An eternal city to come. Amen, brother?
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yeah.
I want to know, when after you read Hebrews 11, how can anybody believe in faith alone?
Yeah, no kidding.
Do you have to be delusional to believe in faith alone?
There's only one verse in the entire Bible that says faith alone, and it says not faith alone.
Yeah. It says you're justified by works. Your faith is justified by works, yeah. I like verse 2 where it says the elders obtained a good report. I like that. We should all have a good report about our lives. Amen.
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 3. Three. We talked about this yesterday. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. So the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. I love that. Look at the earth. Look at all the beauty. Look at the people, the animals. Look at everything. Formed by the word of God. Christ, the word made flesh, the creator from the beginning. That always gave me such strength, because I remember as being a pagan looking at the world, loving the creation. I loved the animals and nature, and hunting and fishing is what I always did as an idolater, basically. When I became a Christian and I realized it was formed by God's word and Christ is the word, that just was so rich and meaningful to me.
Amen. I like verse 25 and 26. It's just awesome. Well, actually, I'm going to do verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. It's an awesome thought that basically, by faith, we do that. We choose rather to suffer affliction than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season.
Yeah.
It kind of helps us overcome. And then it's also like, I find this interesting. When people want to talk about oneness, or Jesus isn't God, or Jesus is just the prophet, or some nonsense like that, it says esteeming the reproach of Christ.
Yeah. Yep, they're definitely.
Now, how does it reconcile this?
Let's say that again.
How do you reconcile that if you don't believe in Christ being God and being with the Father from the beginning?
Yeah, well, they don't, because they don't use all of Scripture, yeah. Yeah, it's what we do. We turn our face from the world, and we turn our face like flint to the Lord, or determined towards the Lord, His Word, His truth. And that's what Moses did. Turned his life away from the king's dainties. And that's another archetype in Scripture that we see. All these archetypes are so meaningful, from the old to the new, aren't they?
Yeah.
Brother Purgos, yeah. Brother Purgos, you picked this. What stands out in this to you?
Well, going from top to bottom, verse 5 sort of sticks out. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he had pleased God. I'm thinking of two possible things, how either at the last trump in the twinkling of the eye, those faithful in Christ will be translated, but more about revelation, about the second death not being able to hurt those who are in Christ. All that through faith we obtain escape from death.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, Enoch is definitely an archetype of what people would call the rapture, where those people alive at that moment are never going to know physical death. Enoch never knew physical death, and the people at the rapture won't know it either. By the way, the rapture comes at the end of the tribulation. There's no such thing as pre-trib rapture. That's a lie from man-made dispensationalism.
Yeah. And Lord willing, we all have the testimony that we please God too, huh?
Amen. Amen. We can't skip over we can't skip over verse 6. Without faith, it's impossible to please him, God. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. And I like the last part. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You just look at a verse like that and you just see it. You got to please God with faith. Faith alone, right? Actually, your faith has to diligently seek him. I love that. It's just laced all over God's word. Faith and works, faith and works, faith and works. It's everywhere.
Yeah, and I would say the verse right below that one, verse 7, it's like a perfect example of faith and works. It's like being warned of God. Okay, God's warning Noah, moved with fear, prepared an ark. So it wasn't the faith that saved him. He had faith in the warning of God, and he moved with fear to prepare an ark. So, yeah.
So, yeah, so
and
you...
Keep going, brother. The next part is even better. By the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. So when people are like, oh, don't judge. Why are you condemning everybody? Do you realize when we obey God, we condemn the world because they don't obey?
Yeah, it's like...
I mean, not we don't do it consciously, but our entire life as a saint is walking judgment in the world.
Yeah, what it's going to be, two thoughts come to mind. First, what you just said about Noah is a great way to shoot the worldly church, faith alone, grace alone, doctrine in the foot. Ask people in the streets when they say, you don't got to do anything. Ask them about Noah. No one's ever answered this. I say to people, did Noah have faith? Oh, yeah. Ready? Ask them, what if Noah didn't build the ark? What would have happened to him? I've never heard anyone say, oh, God still would have spared him. On what? Floating on a log or something? No. He, by faith, worked. And that brought him to salvation because he had a saving faith. And then the other part about it, I was going to say what Brother Zellos just said, that's like when you preach the gospel, it's either to people's glorification with God one day or it is to their condemnation. It's not our job to condemn, but the very action of preaching the gospel that they reject, does that not condemn them?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're part of that. God's using us as a tool, like he did the prophets. We're not prophets, but we do a prophet's-like job. We proclaim the truth, call people to repentance, warn of God's wrath, tell of his goodness, and the people that fall on the wrong side, yeah, they're going to be condemned.
Yeah, and then I like even it looks like every one of these verses has a lesson in it for us. It's like it's awesome. By faith, Abram, when he was called to go out into a place which he should receive after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. So it's kind of like for us the same way. Like we're talking about flexibility, and like all of us kind of might have had a plan or something, and then God says nope. And then we all end up being somewhere else a year down the road and look back and we rejoice over where God's taken us. It's kind of the same thing.
Amen.
We obey God's will and we really don't know where they were going. I mean, we know the end game. We know the end result if we endure, but we're just going by faith, aren't we?
Yeah. I always tell Sister Amen, we don't know where we're going, but we're on our way to eternity. Meaning we don't know where we're going through this life, but we're on our way to eternity. That's where we're going.
Amen.
What else we got in this? What else we got in this chapter? Let's see. Thirteen. All these died in the faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. What do you think that, brothers, means? What do you think that means, brothers? Having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims. Brother Akua talked about that. What do you think that means? They saw him from afar off and they were persuaded.
My mind jumps to Jesus talking with the Jews about Abraham. And they claimed Abraham was their father. And he said that if Abraham was your father, you'd believe me. And because Abraham believed me. And basically, okay, he had that whole thing where he ended up saying, before Abraham was, I am. But he said, like, Abraham's rejoiced to see my day.
Right. Yep, that's a good example. I think of when I read that, I think of the prophets that saw what was coming, saw the archetypes, knew where it was going, and would have loved to live in the day we live in today. They saw all the archetypes of Christ in the Old Testament, and they were proclaiming it. They saw it from far off, but they didn't have the new covenant, did they?
No.
It's people don't grasp this enough, probably us included, the old to the new. You think about the radical difference how it was in the old to the new. We just live in the new. We just take it for granted. We got the finished word. We got the Holy Spirit. We know about the resurrected Christ. We got the promise of him coming back. Think about what they had in the Old Testament, or I should say what they didn't have in the Old Testament versus what we have. You ever ponder that?
Here's a good verse for that, Matthew 13:17. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them.
Yeah. Yeah, I think of it like this, you know, do you ever see, you're walking by a fence and there's like a hole or a crack in the fence and you can like look through the fence and see what's in the yard or what's going on the construction site, whatever you're looking at. That's how it was in the Old Testament. Like, they could dimly see it. They saw some archetypes, but they're like looking through cracks and shadows. And we today, we got like the best seat in the house. And we're just looking at the whole thing playing out. And we're talking about, before you came on, Brother Kuo, talking about how few people there are when you witness, and how even the people that come and say they left the church system and they left the culture, even they don't want to really follow Christ biblically, and even they don't come. The odds don't go any higher when you meet somebody that's come out of churchianity that wants to follow Christ. No, the odds don't get any higher of them coming. It's still a puny few. It actually strengthens us because we see what the Word of God says, that we're headed in the last days where there'll be less and less true saints, and will there be any faith left? And we know the falling ways happen and false teachers are everywhere. It should really strengthen our faith. I think the prophets would have loved to live and got to see and got to partake in what we get to partake in.
Amen.
So it's not something we should take lightly.
I also kind of was thinking about this. Keep going in Hebrews 13, where like they confess they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. They declare they seek a country. They desire a better country that isn't heavenly. And basically kind of, I know, it just made me think of the study I just did on the folly of politics and patriotism. I mean, doesn't politics and patriotism completely fly in the face of faith and seeking the one to come, being a stranger and a pilgrim on earth, and being mindful of the country, and not being mindful of the country from where we come out, but looking for the better country where God is the builder?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. We see all kinds of examples of that. Lot's wife is one. She leaving that city. God's going to judge it, and she's looking back longing for it, right?
Yeah, just kind of it was another strike against politics and patriotism and how foolish it is that even, it's actually unbelieving, it's faithless, because you're basically striving for this city instead of being a stranger and a pilgrim, not being mindful of this country and seeking a better one, a heavenly, where God is not going to be ashamed to be our God, for he prepares for us a city. But what do you think God's going to do if you kind of reject that city and set your focus on, you know, earthly politics for the next 20 years to see who you can get elected?
Yeah. Yeah, Hebrews 13:14. I've been saying this one a lot. We have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. That's that new Jerusalem that's going to come down one day. And we are pilgrims and sojourners and aliens here. And it really helps to remember that. Don't fit in here, brothers. I know you don't. Don't try to fit in. Don't try to be like the people around us. Don't try to change the gospel to be more appealing. Don't try to lower the standard so more get under the bar. Or over the bar, I should say. We have to hold true because otherwise we cheapen the truth in the gospel, don't we? We do that, we're going to have bounce houses, barbecue, and balloons instead of the Bible, the Word of God.
Amen.
Anything else on Hebrews 11? We could be here for a long, long time. I'm sorry?
I really like the part down in verse like 35 to 38 or 39, about, well, it could go to 40, but 39 is about where it ends. The women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, were slain with the sword, they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And then it ends with, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. And then God, having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. So I just really like just pondering how many Christians came before us and how many trials and temptations and scourgings, and even like the prophets and all of these people, that it's just incredible. And all of these people claiming to be Christians these days, not even getting hated by the world. They're still in the world. People, they haven't had to lose anything. They're still, and it's just such a mockery of God and his people.
It is, brother. Yeah, it is. God's people have always stood outside from the world system. And you look at the churchianity system, and they have mingled right with the world to become like them, to become their friends, to live like them, act like them, dress like them, talk like them. And that's why we're such aliens even to them, because we refuse to mold to the culture around us, and they're ever molding to the culture around them. And with that comes a false gospel and a false Jesus, which is exactly what the Bible said would come in the last days. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
I love that one sentence, of whom the world was not worthy.
Yeah, you talked about that just the other day.
Yeah, I did an audio. It's like, it kind of ties into what you're talking about. That word worthy, one of the meanings of it is comparable.
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking about, yeah, we're not, the saints of God and the people of God are not comparable with the world.
No.
They don't match up. They're not suitable for each other. They have nothing in common. They're not, like, there's nothing there. The world isn't even worthy that these men should be in it. That's why the world persecutes. And like Jesus said to his disciples, like, the world hates you because I've chosen you out of the world. And they hate me. I've chosen you out of the world, they hate you.
That sounds like being friends of the world makes you an enemy of God, kind of. James 4:4.
Amen.
That's a concept that people just don't want to grasp, get a hold of, but because they love the world so much. And yeah, not worthy.
Yeah.
Not worthy. Yeah, that was a good teaching that you brought. I liked that. I enjoyed that. Yeah, all of those concepts. This is a great chapter to take people that believe in faith only. You don't have to do anything. Take them through and walk them through these and show them how people by faith did. People by faith acted. People by faith obeyed. show them right in the scriptures what an active, true faith of allegiance actually looks like.
Amen. Father Purgos, you'd mentioned that this chapter was speaking to you. What was it speaking to you?
It was speaking about all the works that have to be done and the warning about if they were mindful of the country from which they had left, they might have returned. It's such a great focus to look at what is coming and to avoid what is seen with the fleshly eyes, but see in the spiritual of what is behind the scenes and what is coming in the future.
Yeah. Amen. And you know what? It's a great lesson for all of us. Don't be looking back at our old lives like the Israelites. God rescues them from imprisonment and bondage, and they wanted to go back into it for leeks and onions and comfort. And then because they were so stubborn, stiff-necked, and rebellious, God only allows two of the men out of 600,000 to go into the Holy Land. We cannot be those people. We have to be thankful for what God brought us all out of our old lives, our old ways, and then glorify God and serve Him in great thankfulness and let our lives be a testimony of that, not looking back like the ungrateful, stiff-necked, rebellious, idolatrous Israelites. I don't want to be like them.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
And how do we do that? We keep our eyes on Christ. We keep our eyes forward. We keep our eyes on ministry. We keep our eyes and thoughts in the Word. We kill our flesh. We just talked about in the other audio, be a good steward of everything God's given us, the Word, time, money, relationships, the gospel, resources, talents, skills, whatever you have that you can use for the kingdom of God. Your very breath He gives you. Use it for the kingdom of God. That's how we honor God with all of our members, as the scriptures say.
So I got another question to toss in here.
Is this about Hebrews 11?
Yeah, kind of. I guess, yes. So if somebody asks, how do I walk by faith? What would you answer?
How do you walk by faith? What would you say, young brothers?
I let the others answer before I say something.
I would say you put your trust in the Word of God and you obey it. I don't know. It's pretty straightforward answer, but how else are you going to walk in faith? If you trust in the Word of God, you believe its promises, you believe what Christ did, you're going to walk, even though you can't see Christ, even though you can't see Him, you're going to walk by His Word, His ways, by the power of the Spirit. Yeah, I guess that's how I'd answer.
What say you, Brother Purgos?
Brother Kuo did a great job, and especially expect the promised outcomes. Don't just say, it's true, and I do it. Truly have a conviction within yourself that you will get the reward promised.
Yeah, yeah, amen. What I would say is... Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
In the Gospels, he said, when you pray... pray, and then believe that you shall receive. There's more than the belief that it's true, more than the action that you do. It's the reward and the outcome that you truly believe will happen, not just, I'm going to do it, and then maybe the outcome will happen. No, it's, I believe, I do, and it will, not it might.
Yeah. Yeah, you're like setting your eyes on the promise and the reward, kind of like Apostle Paul, where he talks about all the places where receiving a crown of righteousness and all the things that the scriptures promise us, not just taking action, but actually believing for the outcome is what you're saying, right?
Yes.
Yeah. How I would explain it to somebody is I would say the definition of faith in the Bible is hope in what is unseen. And so it tells us right in Hebrews that we can't please God without faith. So what was your question? How do you live by faith or walk by faith?
Yeah, well, I guess the two go together.
Yeah.
Like if somebody asks, so how do I walk by faith? How do I, live by faith? How do I walk by faith?
Yeah, so what I would tell someone is by faith you have to believe that God is. And if you believe God is, you must believe in God's word. The word is Christ. He was made flesh, God Emmanuel, God with us. And so if we believe in God, we see his creation, we believe in his word, we believe in the Savior. And so then we read his word, and to walk by faith means to believe what his word says. And as Brother Purgo said, believe the promises that are going to come both in our life today and in the future, whether it be Christ's return, the tribulation, heaven becoming a pillar, and actually live and believe and seek the kingdom of God, Matthew 6:33, and his righteousness, and everything else will be added to you. And so how you do that is you believe what God's word says, and you follow it, and you walk after it, and you trust in it, knowing that he's going to see through everything that he's made a promise to. Our salvation, completing a work in us, doing a work in us, sending the Spirit, teaching us all things, and you believe that by faith. Even when you don't see it, you believe it. Kind of like when people go to drive to go see something. I guess this might be a good example. You never been to the Grand Canyon. You're going to go see it. You got to get on a plane or a car to go get there. You're by faith. You've never seen it before, have you?
No.
But you're going there, and what are you believing by faith will be there when you get there?
A canyon.
Yeah. You're saying everybody says it's there. I'm going there by faith. I did that once. We drove there, and I said, it must be there. And we went there, and it showed up. Well, in a spiritual sense, God has laid out all these things that we must believe in by faith. And so we must act and start walking, draw near to God. He'll draw near to you. So to walk by faith means to start believing what God has promised, even when you can't see it, and trust in the Savior, and he will do what he says, show up where he needs to show up, give you that truth in the word. The Spirit will encourage you and quicken you. And as you walk, he will continue to grow you, strengthen you, and confirm who he is in your life.
Yeah, amen.
Because if you're looking for a sure thing, forget it. You don't even have sure things in this life that is physical. How can you have sure things that is spiritual? But you believe by faith. Without faith, we can't even please him. So it all comes down to what Brother Purgo said, the promises of God. Christ was a promise. He became fulfilled. He's given us all kinds of promises. There's a whole bunch of promises in the book of Revelation. It's not just about the Antichrist and the 666 number. And we got to believe those promises and walk to ever attain them. If we don't start walking to obey God and doing his will today, we're never going to attain any of those promises, are we?
No.
Yeah?
No.
What would you say? You brought the question up. What would you say?
I agree with everything y'all said. I'd probably also take the angle of when you're walking, which is basically your day-to-day life, and let's say something arises where it's a contention between the spirit and the flesh, then walking by faith means you would basically choose to order your steps in your life after what you believe to be from God's word and your faith, and not what your flesh and your eyes want physically.
Yes.
If that makes sense. So you come up with a contention, okay, so the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So something comes up. Oh, you want to do this and you see it, but God's word tells you perhaps otherwise, or even maybe just in principle. I'm not sure. I can't think of an example right now, but kind of get what I'm saying.
and then you would choose to walk instead after the faith and the spirit and not the flesh. I think I kind of throw that angle in there as well.
Yeah, and that goes along with the concept I always teach people. Brother Purgos and I talked about the other day when we talked at his lunch break. The concept is this. If you're walking by faith and in the spirit, everything you do in your life is always, if it's something that is in question, kind of like what you talked about, meaning it's not completely black or white, or you have liberty to do it a little different way maybe, everything you do in your life by faith is always leaning towards and falling towards God and His kingdom, not towards the world and the flesh. So if you look at anything, you know, I'll give you a good example. We talk, because all of us dress biblical, we believe God commanded that and ordered that. So I'll go in a thrift store and I'll see a shirt that Sister Amen could maybe adapt and make me a new tunic. It's funny how it happens. And I'll kind of look at it and I'll go, oh, I'm not sure. I don't know. I don't pick bright colors. I like tan. I like brown. I like a light green. I like earthy tones. I want it to just blend in. And I'll pick up a shirt and it's kind of got like a bright blue, or it's got like a weird color and looks like there's a herringbone going through the material. And I'll hold it up and I'll go, I'm not sure. And I'll hold it up to Sister Amen and I'll go, what do you think of this one? And she'll look at it and I can tell by her face, I know my wife good enough. And I go, yeah, me too. There's just something not right. It's like it just kind of almost like it shines. Some of them kind of shine. And I put it back. Why? Because it'd be sinful to buy that and wear it if one of you brothers did it? No, it wouldn't be. If your conscience says you can wear something like that and it's not super flashy and adorned and all that, you could do that. But I always want to fall towards God and go, nah, I just want something plain and simple. And all of those things that we do by the Spirit, by faith, are we not stronger when we're always falling towards the Lord's ways? How we talk, act, dress, live, spend our money. We just talked about money. Versus, oh man, that shirt's kind of cool. I love it. It's got a bunch of little crappies on it. That looks kind of nice. Look, crappies of fish. That looks kind of nice. I like that. And you put that on, you're like bending to your flesh, aren't you?
Yeah.
So does that make sense? Always falling towards the kingdom of God. If you make every decision you make, if you're always leaning towards the kingdom of God, if you ever do fall, which way are you falling?
You're falling on the side of the right.
Right. You're falling towards God going, okay, you know, I'm falling that way. Versus how many people do we know, they always want to cater to the flesh and go, well, I know high school football isn't the best thing, but I go because of my nephew and I'm trying to witness to him. So, you know, I'm going to the high school football game. That's falling to the flesh. Amen?
Amen.
That'd be walking by sight.
Right. That's not walking by faith. So faith would be doing everything you know God's word promises, and then anything you have a doubt about, you're still falling towards God. Leaning towards God, doing His way, seeking His kingdom. I've done that for years, and that has never, ever, ever failed me in my house. Whenever we have a decision, and it could go one of two ways, we always go towards God's way, even if we aren't sure about it. And I always love falling towards my Savior, not falling towards my old fleshly, worldly ways. I believe that's living by faith.
Amen.
Right? And so, yeah, there's a lot of answers to that question. It's like, you know, going by topic, you know, picking a job. Hey, I got two jobs. Which one do I take? And you weigh it all out and you weigh it all. You could cast a lot for it. You know, you could say, you know, Lord, the next one that calls me from that job, I'm taking that job if that's a sign. There's all kinds of things you can do to always be just seeking God's will for your life and not just operating in your own understanding. Lean on His understanding. Walk in His way. Seek the Spirit.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Anything else on the book of Hebrews, chapter 11?
There's probably lots more to unpack there, but yeah. I think those are all the thoughts I had for now.
Yeah. Anything else, Brother Kuo, Brother Purgos?
Nope, I'm all good.
All right. Awesome. Thanks for bringing that, Brother Purgos. We'll post that in the Ecclesia Forum, and people can listen to it and be edified, add their own thoughts to it, too. There's a lot more meat there that we did not uncover. God be praised.